Welcome to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast with your host, Catherine M. White, founder and CEO of Accelerated Results 365. If you're an overachiever who's ready to hear what today's bleeding-edge, successful professionals are doing to create success in their business, you've come to the right place. On the show, Catherine interviews rockstar achievers who share their incredible tips, such as how they plow through roadblocks, outsmart the competition, grow a flourishing business, and reach unparalleled levels of performance. So kick back and get ready for a power-packed, insightful discussion with today's Rockstar Achiever.
Thank you for joining us today. I have had so much fun over the last several months with this show in being able to meet people, listen to people's stories, and let them share those stories. And the big reason I do this show is because every one of us has an incredible story to share, and many of us don't have the opportunity to share that. And there are so many people in the world that if we open up ourselves and we share our stories, our experiences, there is someone out there who is going to hear that and say or think, that is exactly what I needed to hear. Because everyone has their struggles, their challenges, and sometimes we just need to know that somebody else is out there sharing something similar, and that we can hear how they've gotten through it, whether it's how they've built their business or how they've gotten through some personal trial in their life. So without further ado, I want to share with you who our guest is today. But before I do so, the reason I have this guest here is because as I've done these episodes throughout the year, I've had a lot of people who have said to me, Catherine, you need to be interviewed on your own show because you have a lot to share. One of those people who have made that comment is one of our former guests just a few episodes ago, Sheldon Sweeney. And he was on the episode Going Through the Hard Times Builds Character. Well, Sheldon is back with us today. And this time, we're reversing the roles. And Sheldon is going to play the interviewer while I play the interviewee. So Sheldon, thank you so much for joining us again today.
You're welcome, Catherine. Pleasure to be here with you. It's fun to turn the tables on you.
Thank you. You know, it feels much different on this side of the table.
I can imagine. You've done a lot of these, but you've not been interviewed. So this will be really fun. And I think it'll be great to have your story out there.
Thank you. Well, I'm excited and I'm ready to go.
Awesome. Okay. Well, for my first question, it's all the business accomplishments that you've had in your life. I just thought for a leadoff question, if you could share with us that kind of where were you in life when you really visualized who you wanted to become as a business person?
Well, Sheldon, that's an interesting question. And where I wanted to become as a business person really didn't happen until late in my life. But I would like to take you back a bit to my childhood, because I believe that my childhood, I may not have seen it then, but my childhood definitely led me to where I am at today.
Sounds good.
Thank you. When I was a young child, I grew up in a family of 8 kids. Obviously, originally it started with 1, and then when we got to up to 7, when I was young, we had what's considered a large family. For me, it was natural. It was normal. However, to everyone else, it was a large family. And my mother was a stay-at-home mother, bless her heart. She worked very hard to take care of the children, to make sure our needs were met. She did a lot of cooking and canning and cleaning and sewing and all of that stuff. And I had a father who did not do very well at holding down a job. And that is very tough, especially when you've got 7 mouths, or rather 9 mouths to feed. And so my mother was essentially forced to work very hard, canning, sewing, gardening, etc. And of course, we were taught those same things as well. So I learned hard work at a very, very young age. And Having been in a larger family, I was the third child. I had two older brothers, and so I was the oldest girl. I took on a lot of responsibility in helping my mom, watching my mom work so hard, go through the struggles that she went through. And I became a nurturer alongside her. And my younger siblings actually considered me a second mother. When I was 10 years old, my mom was pregnant with number eight. She decided that she couldn't stay in the marriage. There were many reasons why. And so she left my father, pregnant with number eight. A few years later, she decided to go back to college with eight children. And her main reason, she told us, was that she went back to show us that it can be done. Because when she started college before she got married, but got married soon into college and didn't go very far before she quit. Now it was her desire to show us children that college is important, and she decided to go through it herself. So that as that continued on, of course, now she alone is raising eight kids, and that's where even more of my, if you will, maternal instincts kicked in. And I oftentimes was the one at home kind of policing my brothers and sisters. Come on, we got to get this done. Let's clean, let's get our chores done, or whatever responsibilities they were. And I just felt this need that there, I guess in a whole, there are people that need to be taken care of. And I'm going to be the one or one of the ones to do that. So I knew at a young age that taking or helping people was important. And really my goals at that time when I was young were to, one, to be a teacher. And or maybe I should t say two, to be a teacher. Number one, to be a mother. I always knew I wanted to be a mother. When I was young, I was also very shy, very insecure. And I believe that was really attributed to my circumstances growing up. And when I got into my tw or 7th grade of junior high, that was the same year that my mom started college. And I remember the very first day of school where I was outside, and it was during lunchtime. And I was watching all these kids running around. They were having fun. And I envied that. I didn't know anybody. And I envied watching them. And something hit me in that moment that it was like it was saying, "Hey, Catherine, you don't have to be shy. You don't have to stand here and be miserable and envious of the other kids. You have a choice to step out, do something uncomfortable, go introduce yourself to someone, or you can stand here and be miserable and watch everyone else have fun." Well, that was a really big realization that I would say really started a series of several things that I've done in my life since then, because it was in that moment that I decided to step out of my comfort zone and go do that. And so ever
And
since,
that was at what age roughly again?
I was 12.
Wow. That's pretty impressive to listen to that inner voice at that age to push through, because so many adolescents I think have that, and very few have the courage to listen to an inner voice like that and step out. That's impressive.
Thank you, Sheldon. And it's made such an impact in my life, because what I gained from that experience is I learned that by stepping out of our comfort zone that we grow. And that year was the most incredible year for me in school. I gained so many friends throughout my junior high year. It was just like this revolving cycle, upward cycle of I made this decision, I made friends, and the more friends that I made, my confidence started to grow. And as my confidence grew, I became more attractive to making more friends. And it's just this continual spiral.
So when you, yeah, I mean, that's such a clear blueprint, it seems like, to what led you on into your future business successes. I mean, did you have, like, any role models that you were looking to at that point that you could attribute that to? Or was it just kind of self-induced?
You know, I think it was mainly self-induced, but I can't say that there weren't people who along the way inspired me or were an example, because we all have those, even if we don't really see them. The one person that stands out, there was a gentleman that I went to church with, and he had a son about my age. Not about, he was my age. We were in the same grade and everything. And this was prior to when I was 12. Because we had moved out of the area when I was 12. So prior to that, my earlier years, this gentleman who had a son my age and we went to church with, he very many, many times on Sunday when we'd be at church, he would make some kind of a comment to me and tell me, "Catherine, you're beautiful."
Wow.
And I didn't feel it. I didn't believe it. But that, I know, did make a difference. And looking back, I have so much appreciation for what he did for me, even though I didn't really see it yet, planting that seed in me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't that something? You know, obviously it was a compliment, but just hearing those kind words, how that would spur you on and stay with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, a few years ago, I was a co-author in a book, and I shared some of my story about this, how I gained my confidence. I shared about the story when I was 12. And when that book came out, I reached out to him and his wife, and I asked for because we're connected on Facebook, and I asked for their address, and I sent them a copy of the book, and with a little note, letting them know that I remember.
Nice.
And thank you.
Nice. Well, I've just, you know, heard bits and pieces of your story before, but one time you shared with me, like, just to, I think, be helpful for some people to understand sort of the level of poverty that you grew up in, and that you came out of that. I mean, that story where at night where you had to go to find the restroom, is maybe that story's worth repeating.
Yeah.
To kind of paint a picture for people about literally where you came from.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you say restroom, as a listener, you have no idea what that entails. So yes, I will share that. When I was little, before my parents separated, we did live in some very, very meager, poor circumstances, to the point where at times we did not have electricity or running water. We did not have a bath or a shower to shower in. We had to use other means. We did not have a toilet in our house for those times that you, as a young kid, you wake up in the middle of the night. And many kids wake up in the middle of the night and maybe have a little bit of a fear of walking down the hall in the dark to the bathroom. For me, walking to the bathroom meant I grab a flashlight and I walk outside, and I don't know, one day I might go back and actually measure this. I don't know what the actual distance was. I'm thinking it was probably about somewhere around 100 to 200 feet. Maybe I'm exaggerating. I don't know. As a little kid, it looked like a long trek. And so I'd walk outside and walk down this long, narrow dirt path to an outhouse. That outhouse, now, in today's day, what we know of an outhouse is like a biffy or a honey bucket. You know, it's this plastic container that has somewhere where you take care of business. Well, for me, it wasn't even that luxurious, if you could call that luxurious. For me, I would call that luxurious. This outhouse was and it was made of wood. I don't know how old it was, but it looked to me like it was just very old or just really slapped together poorly. Looked like it could fall apart any day. And it sat on top of this giant hole that was dug out. And so as a little kid, there was this fear of, what if this collapses? I could fall in. And that's, I don't know if you can imagine how frightening that could be for a young child, but it's not just frightening, but it's a really awful, disgusting thought.
Yeah, especially if it's like pitch black as well, and you're out there with a flashlight. I was definitely being too nice calling it a restroom.
Well, we've dispelled that.
Yeah. For sure. So coming from that, you had all of these early obligations put on yourself, stepping into kind of that motherly role. And, you know, and I know that you're really good about holding yourself accountable for things. You know, and as a business coach, you're expert at holding others accountable as well. So, you know, some of those things I could tell weren't easy, but you just continued to do it. I mean, was there something else also besides just sort of having these roles thrust on you that you figured out how to continually hold yourself personally accountable to keep moving forward?
Well, when you say I just continued to do it, my favorite motto is the Nike slogan, just do it. Just do it. And I remember when I was younger, and some of my siblings that didn't like to do their chores, one in particular, one of my younger sisters, she's probably going to hate me for saying this, but I'm not going to say her name.
There you go. Yeah, keep it anonymous. Right. Random sister.
She might actually laugh. We've had conversations around this. But when it came to her time to do dishes, because we each had a day of the week that we were responsible for washing the family's dishes for 9 people in the house by that time. You can imagine one day's worth of dishes can be pretty daunting for a child, but, and for her, it certainly was. And she would just sit and cry and cry and cry. And I would be like, why are you crying? Just, don't you know if you just did it now, you could be done. You know, the time that you sat here crying, you would have already been done and on to whatever it is you want to do. So just do it. But really, it's really been a culmination of responsibilities that I have taken on. And one of those responsibilities was when I was 13 years old. Now, as I've shared, we didn't have much. When my mom went off to college, she was a full-time student raising 8 kids. She didn't have time to go get a job also. So we did live on welfare. Mm-hmm. And welfare the idea is to provide your basic necessities. You have food on the table, you have a roof over your head. Well, I actually, when I was 12, I guess I'll go back to when I was 12, there's always been kind of this, I guess it's not really, I don't think there's really a law around it, but just this understood age that when you're 12 years old, you can babysit other families for money. Well, you know, I've been taking care of kids practically all my life by the time I was 12. So
right, you were an expert already.
So I couldn't wait until I turned 12. And when I turned 12, or when I was 12 and we moved to Moscow, Idaho, where my mom went to school, we lived in student housing. So we had these apartments, several apartments in one neighborhood of other students, other families. And it was family housing. So most of them had children. So I made up little cards. And I would tack them on. Each of the apartment complexes had a little bulletin board outside. And so I went around each of the apartment complexes and I posted a card saying that I'm available for babysitting, and I actually got some calls. So nice. I started making my own money. Well, I wouldn't say start, because actually going back when I was about 10, my mom had some friends who would have her come over and clean house sometimes to give her a little bit of extra cash. And sometimes I went with her and help clean. Actually, I think usually we did go with her because we were so young, but sometimes I would help clean and they would give me a little bit of my own cash. And I loved it, right? It wasn't much, but it was a lot for me.
Yeah.
And then when I was 12 and I started taking on babysitting jobs, I started to have money where I could actually buy some things that I wanted. And then my sister, who was 2 years younger than me, came to me one day about a paper route that somebody was giving up. And it was a very large route and it was driven by a car. But she figured, or she was told, well, if you split this one with one of your siblings, you could walk it. Mm-hmm. Because obviously neither one of us were able to drive at the time. And so I agreed to split this route with her, and it was 7 days a week. Papers had to be delivered in the morning. So we got up at 4:30 in the morning to make sure papers got out before we had to get home and get ready for school. And we walked it, and no kidding, uphill in the snow, but we did have shoes. Yeah.
Wow.
So that was big money for me when I got that route. And I still did occasional babysitting on top of that. So that's when I started to buy my own things. I bought my own clothes. I bought my own jewelry. When my friends wanted to go hang out at the movies, I paid for my own movie. These are things that I could not get. Mm-hmm. Without that, my mom couldn't afford it. We always got hand-me-down clothes, or my mom, when she could, would make some things, and bless her heart, you know, they were not the latest trends. So I really gained the power of independence and making my own money, and I work hard. I can make my own money. And then as I got a little bit older, got into a more set job, where I made a full income, or at least for a teenager, I then started doing things for my siblings. And one of my most memorable things is I took all of my siblings, I think it was all of my younger ones, the five that were younger than me, and I took them to the local carnival, the local fair and carnival. I paid their way to get in. By that time, I had a car, so I drove them. And again, those were things that we didn't have the pleasure of doing, but I made it happen. I made it possible for my siblings to do something fun, something that they could enjoy.
Fantastic. Well, it's important, I think, too, at this point for the, you know, the listeners to understand that you've had quite a journey here with your own, now your personal family, your own children, and raising them as a single mom while running your business. So maybe share a little bit about that as well.
Sure. And it has not been easy. and it's still not easy. And I'm sure I'm a long ways from it being easy. But what I, probably the biggest challenge in being a single parent and running a business and working to build a business is that as an entrepreneur, when you start out, well, let me go back a step. So many people have this idea with entrepreneurship that they've got this glorious picture that, well, you set your own hours. You can make whatever you want to make. You can leave, go on vacation, whatever. You don't have to ask somebody. You get to do what you want to do. But what a lot of people don't realize is that you work harder in your business than you ever have to do, in most cases, than you ever have to do at a job working for somebody else. And when the clock strikes five, you don't go home and be like, I'm done. I forget about work. I don't have to think about it. But as an entrepreneur, and I'm sure you can relate with this, Sheldon, you're always working on or thinking about business. Right. And you have to make a very, very conscious effort to be like, nope, I'm going to put that aside, which is not always easy.
Exactly. Well, yeah. But I mean, I think your, you know, maternal instincts, you know, you said from a very early age, you know, you wanted to be a mom. So I know you're diligent about making yourself stop, but it is hard. It's hard to unplug.
Right. Right. And finding that balance. Where is the balance between my kids need me? And of course, when they're younger, they have more needs that more obvious needs. When they're younger, they have more obvious needs. And as they get older, it's easy to think, oh, they're teenagers now, or they're young adults now, and they don't need me anymore. They're self-sufficient, they're independent, when in reality, as they get older, they still need you just as much, just in a different way. And that still takes your time, it still takes your energy, and whatnot. And right now I have my youngest is 11 of the four kids, and then my oldest is 22, and they all live at home. And the older ones they're more self-reliant and independent, but they're trying to figure out their life. And so I have a responsibility to be here and help guide them. What is it you're going to do? How do you figure this out?
Yeah, well, they're fortunate to have you. You have lots to draw on to share with them on life experience and business building. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up being entrepreneurial as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But I know you have a cheerfulness about you that makes it's not, you know, drudgery or anything. I mean, you always have a smile on your face. You're always able to laugh. I mean, one story that you shared with me that I thought really depicted you was, if you could share with us, when you needed a car, there was like a date or a dance or something you wanted to go to. I thought that epitomized your making things happen.
Oh, thank you. It's funny that you bring that up, because there was a post on Facebook that it was something like, what's something surprising that most people don't know about you? Something along that line. And I posted, I commented that when I was 16, I rented a car, and I just gave a little blurb about it. And one of my sisters commented, she goes, what? Even my family, I don't know if any of them realized that I did this. So, well, what happened was, when you're young, it's really easy to be motivated by having an interest in somebody. There's a cute boy there, right?
There you go.
So there was this boy that I went to school with who I had a little bit of a crush on, maybe a little more than that. Anyhow, he moved out of the area, and I don't know, something like a year or two later, he had come back and he visited. And at the time, we actually were allowed to visit at a school. Like, I used to do this when I would go stay with a friend out of town. I would go to school with her. Well, that's what he did. He came to the school. He visited for the day. And oh my goodness, I thought he was cute 2 years ago. He was now much taller. He was thin. He was, you know, very, very attractive to me at the age of 16. And he wanted to get together with myself and a couple of other friends and go hang out for the night. The problem is none of us had a car. I had my driver's license, but none of us had a car. And the car that my mother owned was this big, it was a Ford something station wagon, and it was a stick shift. So my mother had a manual car. I had my driver's license, but I couldn't ever drive because I didn't know how to drive a manual vehicle. And my mother didn't have the time to teach me. Needless to say, actually, one of the gentlemen that I used to babysit for, he's the one that ended up teaching me how to drive a stick. Anyhow, that's another story. But so I had a license, but I couldn't drive. So I got my thinking cap on. I don't remember exactly how this went about, but I'm thinking, I am going to find a car. And I just get resourceful. I notice there is a car sitting outside one of the apartments just down from where I lived. And I took a guess. I went to the apartment that it was closest to. Oh, the car had a for sale sign on it, by the way. So I'm thinking, opportunity. So I go knock on the door of the apartment that is closest to where the car is located. And I find out that this is their car. And I offered to rent the car for the night. I gave them $30 cash. And off I was with my friends. I had the car for the full night, returned it the following day. And, I mean, as far as I know, everybody was happy.
Very industrious. Very well, you know, the thing is, these I know on your show here, these talks go by so fast. There's so much to share. I thought maybe as a final thought for everybody, is that obviously with that boy, that was clearly motivational for you. That was right in front of you. But in day-to-day life now, running business and your family, what do you use to keep yourself going now? I mean, how do you continue to motivate yourself?
Well, really, it's I just have this drive that this is what I want. This is what I want for my kids, my families. And I would say probably it's even more so about what I want to give to others, more so than it is, this is what I want for myself. But knowing that I have the ability, that I have been blessed with some gifts that I can share with others, that I can help change lives, that I can help people build their dreams and have a life that they enjoy, that really is probably the biggest motivation for me, is what I can do for others. And knowing that there are a lot of people out there that need and can benefit from what I have to offer. And it does start in my home with my kids. I know that I can set an example for them and that I can help them create a great life. I can help them be leaders. I can help them gain the value of hard work, dedication, and commitment.
That's huge, Catherine, because that's what I see in you as well, is that you've taken all your life experiences and really found a perfect outlet where you can be fulfilled professionally, and then you're bringing so much to the people that you bring coaching to the individuals and to the business owners that you help. So it's a great story. It's been a privilege to be on this call and hear it. And I feel like you should wrap up your own show.
Well, thank you, Sheldon. As a final thought, one of the things that I've shared throughout this episode is my ability to be creative and think outside of the box and come up with a solution. I am very solution driven. And so when I work with my clients, I am constantly in the lookout thinking of what can I bring to them? One of the things that I really love is, how do I make them unique? Because no matter what industry you're in, you have competition. You're not the only one out there doing it. Somebody's thought of this before you. But you have a different way of doing it. And so I really hone in on what makes my clients unique. How do I set them apart? And how do we come up with new creative, innovative ways that we can make your business shine and make your business grow.
Thank you for tuning in to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast. If you are looking to reach new levels of success by plowing through your roadblocks, outsmarting your competition, growing a flourishing business, or reaching unparalleled levels of performance, go to www.acceleratedresults365.com or email Catherine@acceleratedresults365.com and learn how you can get started with Accelerated Results 365 today.